This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Talking Commanders, and on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. On the Rude guest hotline right now, we have David Harrison. What's going on, David?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. So the question that we've been working with today, we had a caller who kind of disagreed with me. I'll throw it to you now. Do you think Debo Samuel would fit in Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Debo, you know, as a player, right, like Debo is kind of that Swiss Army knife guy where you can use him in various amounts of ways and really help use him to unlock other players. I mean, that's really where his value comes in. More than just what the stat box shows is things you can do with him, force defenses. I mean, like you just envision lining him up, you know, in the slot next to Terry McLaurin on the left side of an offensive formation, and the Philadelphia Eagles defense can no longer play that Bermuda Triangle defense around Terry because they've got to worry about what Debo is doing. Then you add in a backfield threat, a tight end threat, a mobile quarterback, and I mean, it's a nightmare. Like I've just contemplating free agent targets and trade targets and all that stuff this offseason, I've kind of fantasized a little bit about some sort of a read option where you got Debo coming across the formation going one way, Jaden maybe keeping the ball going the opposite way. And oh, by the way, you got Terry McLaurin running a slant behind it. And maybe, you know, a guy like Austin Ekeler running a wheel route out of the backfield at the same time. Like as a defense, you just can't defend it. It's just a matter of Jaden figuring out what the right play is and making the right decision.
Sign me up. I mean, yes, I want all of that. I want 17 games of that. How about this? Can you rank the four wide receivers that have been rumored to Washington or mentioned by Washington on rumor boards? I would point to T. Higgins, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, so I mean, I think T. Higgins kind of probably has the most, I would say, complete makeup, I think would be the best way to put it, because I think Tyreek obviously has like the highest, like just single man explosive ability. You know, Tyreek is the number one guy, but with T, like you can do multiple things with T that you can't necessarily do with Tyreek. Like as great as Tyreek Hill is and has been, like the thing about him is there's kind of just, it's just kind of a one gear, you know, situation. So when defenses take that away, it's problematic. And you know, with the Miami Dolphins, when you see Tua Tagovailoa come back from his latest concussion, you really saw them go to that quick passing game. And Ty is more capable when his quarterback has a few seconds to let him get his motors going and get downfield. So I'd probably put T above them. My actual favorite target this offseason that has kind of been rumored, kind of not been rumored, because folks in Tampa think that there's no way Chris Godwin is leaving the Buccaneers, would be Chris Godwin, because Chris is a three-level receiver. He's physical. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can go up and get the ball, but he can also create separation on underneath routes and intermediate routes. So to me, Chris Godwin would actually be my number one. But of those guys, I think, you know, T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill. I mean, none of them are consolation prizes, right? Like at the end of the day, it's just a matter of Cliff Kingsbury figuring out the right combination.
You know, I was on your team here for Chris Godwin maybe last season and the year before that. How is he with this injury right now?
Yeah, the ankle, you know, the good thing about a dislocated ankle, and, you know, no news as of right now that there was ligament damage, that's the real concern. Like, a dislocated ankle is bad enough, but, you know, skeletal injuries are easier to come back from. I should say, you know, is probably the best way to put that. When there's ligaments involved and all that, that's when you really want to get concerned. And for Chris Godwin, you know, he did have the ACL, but he's 3 years removed from that now. And honestly, like, watching him play since he's come back from it, like, you would never look at him and say, oh, this is a guy who's certainly being impacted by that ACL injury long-term. So assuming, and obviously, you know, behind the scenes, NFL circles would know more about that, but assuming that the ankle was just a skeletal injury, and I, you know, put just lightly in terms of NFL injury, that's just a skeletal injury. If that is the actual case, then I would have zero reservation to bring it in, Chris.
Yeah, but like you said, he's got to get out of the door there in Tampa for Washington and have a chance. What do you think the contract would look like for Chris Godwin?
I mean, if he leaves Tampa, then I think you're probably looking, I mean, you know, you can make a case for a one-year kind of prove-it deal. Again, you know, he is coming off the injury and all those things. And certainly to his benefit, there would be some advantageous reasons for doing that. You come out there, you ball out for a year and all that. But every NFL player wants a little bit of security, you know what I mean? So when you look at, like, what Adam Peters did last offseason, I think he kind of qualifies as one of those three-year guys. You're probably talking, like, top 12 money overall. How the guarantees and the bonus structures and all that stuff work is, you know, between the agent and the GM. But I think that's probably ballpark of what you're looking at. And that's before there's a bidding war, right? Because if there's a bidding war, then you could get up as high as, like, say, top 8 money.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So outside of Godwin, who is the number one free agent that should be on Washington's wish list this offseason?
I mean, I was going to go with the offensive tackle out of Los Angeles, but the Rams did a really good job. They brought back Alaric Jackson. So, you know, unfortunately, he's off the table. I mean, like, Ronnie Stanley makes sense. You know what I mean? I don't know. When you talk about the offensive line, like bringing in, like, Bobby Wagner on a one-year deal, Zach Ertz on a one-year deal, I'm hopeful that both of those guys come back on, you know, subsequent one-year deals. Those guys, it makes a little bit more sense. For me, the offensive line, it doesn't make as much sense to bring a guy in on a one-year deal unless you think you're a one-year tackle away from winning a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know that Adam Peters, like, Adam was asked about this at scouting combine, like, you know, does the success of the team change the way you approach the offseason? He said, not really. Like, we're at the end of the day, we're looking for Commanders, number one, first and foremost. I think Ronnie Stanley, just from his reputation with the Ravens, certainly seems to fit that mold. But also he mentioned, like, well, but we're still looking at building this team long-term for the future. And Ronnie Stanley's a nice, sexy pick for 2025. I mean, maybe you do bring him in on a two-year deal, something like that. But really, you know, at his age and his veteran status, you're kind of going year to year as far as what your expectations are. You know, it's sexy, but, like, it also opens the door that you might need a new left tackle next year. You know what I mean? And for a five-man unit that works as a group, as one, I think you'd rather kind of go out there and hunt out trying to get, you know, somebody that can be with your team long-term. So I know Ronnie Stanley's going to be a name that a lot of people look to, and certainly for good reason, but I just don't know that the status of his career trajectory fits what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are trying to do for this team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. To the point, like, you want consistency on the defensive line. How about a corner?
Ooh, man. So my favorite corners, honestly, are all in the draft. Like, Jahdae Barron, I mean, he balled out in the NFL scouting combine this week, and I mean, it was pretty much to be expected. The unfortunate part of that is he may have very well moved himself in a position where the Commanders aren't even going to have a chance to try and take him. But he's my very first mock draft Monday. Jahdae was my first-round pick, number 29. And honestly, kind of like Quinyon Mitchell. Like, last year, Quinyon Mitchell, my first mock draft Monday, Quinyon was a second-round pick for me. And I was like, oh, man, like, look how smart I am. Like, nobody's really talking about this kid. And here I am, like, I think I've found the golden goose. And next thing I know, he's an early day one pick. So turns out I'm not as smart. I was just maybe a little bit earlier than some people were. But, you know, Jahdae is climbing up the boards right now. We'll see. You know, it's a long time between now and the NFL draft. But if you could bring in a guy like Jahdae Barron out of Texas, I would love it, because it gives Joe Witt Jr. the opportunity and that coaches out the opportunity to say, okay, look, does Jahdae make the most sense inside? Does Mikey Sanders still make the most sense inside? And you have that versatility and that optionality to choose who's going to be a better fit for you outside, who's inside. And then ultimately, if you need to, like, you know, depending on what happens with Marshawn Lattimore in the next year or two, if you need to move both those guys outside and bring in a new slot, you potentially do that. So that versatility on that defensive side of the ball is just absolutely crucial. And, you know, trying to run a defense like an offense, you know, offenses use a lot of motion these days to try to get you to tip your hand. And when you have guys that can play those versatile types of positions, you don't necessarily need to show as much in your movement when they adjust based off of your alignment. So it just makes it a lot easier to be aggressive on defense.
Great stuff, man. I love that answer. Really good insight here from David Harrison, who joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. What was your biggest takeaway from the Combine and Adam Peters and Dan Quinn talking to the media?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway, just kind of reinforcing what I expected all along, is that they're not going to change the formula just because the success may be unexpected. And I think we should all acknowledge that unexpected success was outside unexpected success, because I'll give a hat tip to Candy Waller at Bowie TV, one of the fellow beat reporters there covering the Commanders. We were talking about this not that long ago, and she remembered a time where you know, there was kind of a conversation. I won't get too deep into the details about it, about like, okay, well, you know, when the playoff run comes, how are we going to organize this offseason media situation? And, you know, this is very early in the season, you know what I mean, when the team is projected to win maybe 7 games. So the confidence from the inside was always there. Like, that was, there's no surprise inside the building. That is just kind of evidence of it. So for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Lance Newmark, we got to speak to them as well, to all kind of come through and echo, like, listen, like, the plan hasn't changed. We're more focused on finding commanders that can help this team long-term than we are about filling, you know, this hole. This is the biggest hole, so we're going to fill that first and all that. Now, AP did acknowledge, like, we also have holes that have to get filled, so there is an element of that too. But, you know, the key for every general manager, no matter what situation, and whether you're the Tennessee Titans or the Philadelphia Eagles at 1-32, is to have the ability to get on the clock and nobody knows what you're going to do. Now, Tennessee at number one, like, you don't care if everybody knows what you're going to do, right? But Tennessee at number 32 or whatever, like, they don't want the rest of the league to know exactly what you're doing, because part of the draft game as well is traits, right? And if I know what you're doing in Tennessee at number 33, it's just that I'm more inclined to try to trade up with the Eagles, get ahead of you, and take your guy, right? So optionality is the word that Adam Peters really leaned on last year. I think it's going to be a word that he leans on this year as well.
David, really great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That was David Harrison. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980, streaming in Richmond 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Metal Chris running the ones and twos, and we are on the Team 980 for one final segment, and after that, keep tuning in to 106.7 The Fan if you want to hear AWOD Radio until 12:15. Maryland heads to College Park to take on Penn State in a Big Ten matchup today. Pregame 11:30, tip-off there at 12 noon on the Team 980. You know, Washington just has so many positive things going for them this offseason, the Commanders do. You know, I talked about this last week. One of the sexiest teams in the league because of Jaden Daniels' success. It's created this amazingly positive destination image for current NFL free agents to land in Washington. Jaden Daniels, Adam Peters, now Dan Quinn, the players coach of the year, the players coach after the NFLPA report cards. Just another reason for players to come to Washington here on what I think is the most important offseason in Commanders history. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Let's go to Watts in Landover. What's up, Watts?
Hey, how you doing, guy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, look here. Talking about the Commanders, I think if I'm general manager, I'm going to concentrate more on the offensive line. I think if you come out with the best offensive line in football, that gives Jaden Daniels more time to throw the football because defensive corners, they only have more, just as much time to cover wide receivers. Plus, that would improve your running game. So that's what I would concentrate more is on the offensive line because you don't need to go to the candy store to get a $30 million wide receiver. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So that's what I would do.
So Watts, some of the best offensive linemen are getting re-signed by their teams right now. It's kind of handcuffing what the Commanders can do in the free agency.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm still going to try to get the best I can. I understand that. If you get it through free agency, if you get it through the draft, that's what I'm concentrating on. And also, because I got to get ready to go, but I'd like to make a suggestion if I can.
Yeah.
I pass by Northwest Stadium quite often. And if somebody could put a bug in the owner's ear, I think it would be real nice if they put either a big picture or a mural of Jaden Daniels in the front of the stadium, just like they used to do with LeVar Arrington back in the day. I think that'd be a real nice gesture if somebody could put a bug in the owner's ear. And that's all I have.
I know they listen. Watts, I appreciate you chiming in. Metal Chris, I don't think Jaden's earned that yet. I don't think he's earned that yet. Right?
Not quite there yet.
Right? It was just one season. Let's get that NFC East title, and then maybe you throw his face on the outside of the stadium. We haven't even talked about the RFK tailgate situation. Chris, did you have an opinion on that? For me, it's so frustrating, but at the same time, I trust the ownership. They will come up with a place for us to tailgate. They'll come up with their own bullpen.
I mean, so I'm actually old enough to have tailgated at the old RFK ahead of Skins games.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was a kid, so I wasn't drinking, but we were cooking out. You know, we bring a little grill you put out there and stuff. And, you know, I was drinking sodas and stuff. And I really enjoyed the old RFK tailgate experience. I don't think we're going to get that kind of thing back. But
right. Because of the fact that they have to do 52 acres for, you know, green space and that kind of thing. Like this, it's just going to be limited. It feels like every report, it goes from 200 acres to 175 to 150 to 125 to 100. Well, maybe we'll have about 75 acres for tailgating.
Right? I think the bigger issue is even going to be, like, they don't really make money off tailgating. They want to sell you $18 beers in a stadium. They don't really care if you're bringing your own beer and drinking in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make them money. So that's what they're going to do, is what's going to make them money, because that's what teams do. So.
Right. I think that the part about it that frustrates me the most is when I think about how cheap it is. Like, this year, I went to a Titans game. My buddy Brian, who listens to the show, had a grill, had all the food, had beer. I brought hot dogs, and I think I paid him like $8, $5, $10 for the beer. And we drank all day and drank after the game. You know, it cost me like $5, $6. Like, you go to the bullpen, you're going to spend $32 on drinks and then food after that. Like, the money's going to really start adding up. And that's my big thing about the new stadium. I want the stadium to be for the common folk. I hate those that, oh, I got a suite for the Commanders game. Screw you. Sit in the 400 section like I used to sit at and scream your head off, right? Like, I want 75,000 seats there. I don't want 60 with all these great suites. That's not for me, right? So I want tailgating where it's going to be cheap, and I want the loudest, biggest stadium, but that's not what ownership wants, because they want to make money. So that's kind of my take on that. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Real quick, let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I was just saying about, we need a wide receiver and a running back, and I love Debo. Man, he gives it a lot. I think he just focuses on being a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like a player, especially after the catch. And what do you think about Raiders now that Stafford is going to stay at home with the Rams? They have to sign a veteran quarterback or somebody that has potential. I'm thinking like Donald or Justin Fields, but also draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like Jackson Dart. What are you thinking? Thanks for taking my call, bro.
Yeah, Mitch, thanks for chiming in. I'll try to answer that. I wonder if Debo Samuel could, you know, kill a bird with two stones and be a wide receiver and a running back. So that would be perfect here in Washington. I just hope that that Adam Peters feels like he's going to fit the culture here. And I definitely think he would fit the Cliff Kingsbury's offense. The Raiders, I'm starting to think it's Russell Wilson. I think it's Pete Carroll. I think it's Russell Wilson. I think they're going to try to steal Bobby Wagner from us too, right? And Pete's going to try to bring the band back together. Maybe Marshawn Lynch, right? He was there at his introductory press conference. That'll probably be what the Raiders end up trying to do. We got 30 minutes still to come here on AWOD Radio. We're going to get into Chance to Dance, all the colleges from the DMV. Who's got a chance to make it into the tournament? Coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can support me during the week on the free Odyssey app. Just download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. AUDACY. Search 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. We also post the podcast every day, Best of AWOD Radio, available for you on your ride home on the Odyssey app, Spotify, or iTunes. We're going to change gears here in a second, but I want to go back out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067, talking Commanders with Sean in Winchester. Sean, you're on the fan with AWOD.
What's happening, man? First time caller. Enjoy the show, as always. No, I was joking with your producer, man. we need to get a quarterback. It's usually what you'd say in the past years. And as far as the Brandon Coleman shifting him to the inside to guard, I don't understand why they do that. I think the guy did a great job this year. I mean, I didn't see, you know, now Wiley. Now, that's a problem over on the right side, but I think Coleman is good, and as long as he stays that good. But as far as free agents, I'm a big fan of Metcalf. I think we haven't had a big, tall, possession-like receiver in a long time.
Yeah,
I think Metcalf would be a that would be awesome to have a guy like that
opposite McLaurin. And of course, Myles Garrett, I think the all season's done with.
Yeah. I got to let you run because your phone's breaking up here, but I appreciate you chiming in. DK Myles Garrett, I mean, absolutely, if it can happen, but I'm not sure how realistic it is based on the fact that, you know, they still want to build through the draft. They want to do this the right way rather than, you know, what might have been the Snyder way of, hey, you have one good season. Now let's overpay for all these players and trade all our future assets. I don't think we want to mortgage our future. You know, we'll see. I mean, if Myles Garrett keeps slamming the door shut on the Browns, they might have to move him at some point this offseason. So we'll see how that, you know, kind of picks back up over the next few weeks. I haven't heard much about DK Metcalf other than, like, Commanders fans like myself saying he would be the perfect. Like, I did this last week. I ranked the wide receivers. DK Metcalf is the number one player on the planet, even ahead of Justin Jefferson, as crazy as that may be, that I want opposite of Terry McLaurin. I just think they would complement each other so great. Then I'd probably go Debo, then Tyreek Hill, then Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins as well. But, you know, as other people said, hey, let Adam Peters cook. Let him decide who's the best player to come in here this offseason. Spencer tweets me, AWOD, great show as always this morning. I can't call in, but I wanted to say the comments on the callers who say they trust Adam Peters, but they keep ignoring that he says Coleman is our left tackle and they want to move him to guard. Do they trust him or not? That's a good point, Spencer. I trust Adam Peters, and if he thinks Brandon Coleman is the left tackle of the future, he is still the left tackle. I just think it showed a lot of people that he had his worst games against the best defensive line in football in the Eagles, but you know that defensive line made a lot of people look bad. The interesting thing is Brandon Coleman is versatile. So he played guard at times in college. Maybe you could move him inside. But I think they really do want to build him out as the left tackle of the future. Matt tweets me, what makes Debo too expensive is possibly having to give up a second alone. Throw that in. Could be even more, adding a fourth or a fifth, as stated by an insider when talking about battling Houston for him. That's the other thing. If Debo Samuel is getting into a bidding war here with a trade partner and it's, you know, the 49ers talking to Houston or the 49ers talking to other teams, it could end up being that his price tag is too high. Trey tweets me, AWOD, I think Debo fits. He had more yak last year than any receiver on our roster. He would be an upgrade in that room, and I really think his impact in the short game is going to be important. Yeah, he is the yak champ of the NFL. I mean, so many of his highlights, like I watched them last night trying to prepare for this show. So many of his highlights, Chris, are just like dump-offs or like these drag routes across the middle of the field. Purdy throws it to him like 4 yards downfield, and then he makes two guys miss, and he's in the end zone. He is the yak champ. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. The month of March is here, and March always means memories for me. Memories of watching Maryland win it all. Memories of George Mason's Final Four run. And same with VCU, where I went to school. It's time to talk about who's got a chance to make it to this year's NCAA tournament with Chance to Dance.
It's Chance to Dance on the Fan. AWOD's power rankings of tournament-level teams from the state of Virginia.
To tie!
An at-large bid.
And we're going to overtime!
Conference champion. Or bubble loser. It's Chance to Dance on AWOD Radio.
So with this segment, I do the bracketology for you. I do the research. You can chime in. 1-800-636-1067. Who's got the best chance of making it into the NCAA tournament? It starts with the Terpies. How about that? UMD, my mom's alma mater, loved Gary Williams in charge of the program, and they've got another great, fiery, feisty coach in Kevin Willard, and he has turned around that program, and there is some real talent on the Maryland roster this year. They're 21-7 overall. Incredible out of conference, with only one loss. And then inside of the Big Ten, they have caught fire as of late. They had the terrible loss to Michigan State where they shot the ball with 3 seconds left. Chris, if you saw that, it was the most frustrating thing ever. You should be going to overtime.
I did, and they lost on the buzzer beater. It was rough.
Like, that's why you shoot when there's 1 second left, not 3 seconds left. And he shot it from 40 feet, hit off the front of the rim, and lands in Spartans' hands. And they get off the half quarter buzzer beater, nothing but net. So the Terps dropped that to Michigan State, but they'll have a good chance to bounce back tonight against a struggling Penn State Nittany Lions. Second to last place in the Big Ten. They're 5-13 in the conference. That's pretty bad when you consider they were 10-1 heading into conference play. They've just lost so many games to the point now where I think they're mathematically eliminated from the Big Ten tournament. So they really have nothing to play for today. So big game for Maryland at Penn State. Tough to win on the road in the Big Ten, but you know, you look at the talent on this roster. Derek Queen leading them in scoring. He is kind of like an old school basketball player. Rodney Rice has been really good for them as a shooter from the outside. And Julian Reese, one of my favorite players to watch on this Terps team. He can do a little bit of everything. This is a second weekend NCAA tournament Terrapins team. Like, I think they're Sweet 16 level good, and they are a lock to make it into the NCAA tournament with the latest bracketology by Jerry Palm and by Joe Lunardi, having Maryland in as a 5 seed or a 6 seed. Not a great first-round matchup if they get McNeese. Will Wade's squad's on fire, but Maryland in as a 5 seed. Next team who has a chance to dance here from the DMV, you look at the VCU Rams. I do the pregame and halftime for VCU basketball, and they're one of the hottest teams in the country. Winners of 8 straight games now after a victory last night. They dominated Davidson, the Wildcats. So that gives them the top record in the Atlantic 10. Now, the problem is the A-10 seems like it's only going to be a one-bid league. VCU's 14-2. Right behind them, the George Mason Patriots. How about the job Tony Skin has done in year two? His team is 16-1 at home this year. Eagle Bank Arena creating a home field advantage once again. How about that? 22-6 overall. Now, I believe if George Mason wins out and George Mason makes it to the A-10 finals, if they lose, they should still be a tournament team. The problem is there's going to be bid stealers around the country, and you have conferences like the SEC and the Big 12 who are already getting double-digit teams into the tournament. The Patriots deserve it, in my mind. You know, what they did in at a conference, what they've done inside of the A-10, which is a much better conference this year. You know, Dayton knocked off UConn, your champs. They knocked off UNC. They're in 5th place in the league. And George Mason handled them quite easily already this year. So, George Mason's got some work to do, but I think they have the 3rd best chance to make it into the NCAA tournament from the DMV. Then you look at the JMU Dukes. It is so cool to follow JMU athletics. I didn't even go to JMU, but a ton of my friends did. Football, you guys saw the headlines, right? They were a top 25 team. They were undefeated for a lot of the season. Their football coach leaves. New coach comes in, and they struggle a little bit in football. Basketball, they got hot at the end of last season, win the Sun Belt, win an NCAA tournament game. Mark Byington dips out, leaves for Vanderbilt in the SEC, that big bag of money. In comes Coach Sprodlin and some transfers and some guys that didn't play at all last year like Mark Freeman. They have soared to the top of the Sun Belt. I really think it's a cool story that JMU, with a first-year coach, is at the top of the Sun Belt Conference, tied with the South Alabama Jaguars. So they will need to, you know, take care of business at the end of the season if they're going to, you know, have a chance to win that Sun Belt tournament. They did just lose. I didn't see this until I started. Texas State last night, 102-93. So that snapped a 10-game win streak for JMU in the conference that had gotten to them in that 13-4 record. So looks like there's a bit of a tie for first place in the Sun Belt, but JMU will have a chance. They will have a chance, probably the fourth best chance. Then I'm going to go to Norfolk State. Norfolk State, top of the MEAC, and that tournament is played at the Scope Center. William and Mary in the CAA has had a terrific season. Of course, I just love to cover all of the local schools here in the state of Virginia, plus the Terpies. And, you know, you look at the CAA, and it's just, it's never been a conference that gets respect, and yet they've had Final Four runs from George Mason, Final Four runs from VCU. Towson Tigers are incredible this season. They're 20-10 and 15-2 inside of the CAA. William & Mary sitting in fourth place. Now, College of Charleston beat some teams in out-of-conference this year. UNC Wilmington beat some teams. Same with Towson. So it's going to be a battle for the CAA title, and that is a one big league for sure. But William & Mary, if you're a top four seed, you certainly have a chance to dance. Liberty, I think, is next on my list of who's got a chance to dance from the DMV. They are tied for first place in Conference USA. And then you look at the Hokies and the Hoos. And really, the ACC is just down as a whole this year. But I think you'd have to go back. I was doing the research to 2013, the last year that both Virginia and Virginia Tech missed the NCAA tournament. Virginia had a dynasty with Tony Bennett where they went to the tournament every single year. They lose to the 16 seed, the most incredible story in sports, that embarrassing heartbreak, lose to a 16 seed. They came back the next year and won it all. And it was so cool to see Tony Bennett do that with Kyle Guy and Kihei Clark and the veterans on that roster. But you start to see how they did that. It was because guys like Kihei Clark and DeAndre Hunter and all these guys, they stayed three or four and then for a fifth year. Well, that's not the case with the NIL and the transfer portal. And I think that's why Tony Bennett backed out and retired from Virginia in his 50s. Because they had lost some talented players to the transfer portal, and it's just, it's hard to keep your talent. And then, so they're struggling this year. Ron Sanchez might get another year. I think they're going to hire a search committee and look for a new head coach. They're 14-14 overall. They're 7-10, and there's a four-way tie for 7-10 in the ACC. It's a down year, though. I mean, UNC's not even in the tournament right now. Stanford, Wake are all in the top six of the ACC, not in the tournament. It looks like Duke, Louisville, Clemson, and maybe another team will sneak in, as this could be a bid stealer conference. So UVA and Tech would both need to go on a crazy run to win the ACC. I just don't think they have the talent level this year to do it. The Hokies, Coach Mike Young, he's dealing with the limitations of the fact that every single dollar of the NIL must go to football at Virginia Tech. That's your flagship program. That's how you get national recognition. Guys like Bruce Smith and Michael Vick and all these great Virginia Tech Hokies in football, they have not had that in basketball, and so that's kind of what they're dealing with. It's, you know, UVA's in a similar position. Look at what UNC's doing. They promised a lot of money to Bill Belichick in football. Now basketball's having a down year. The ACC's in some trouble because they don't have the television money to keep up with the SEC. And the SEC has set the tone for football and now for basketball with, I believe it's 8 of the top teams in the top 25 all coming from the SEC, with 3 of your top 5, 4 of your top 6 when you count Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sport, here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. If you want to talk college hoops, now's your chance. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Take radio with you on the road with the free Odyssey app. AUDACY gives you the ability to run some errands, pick up right where you left off with the rewind feature. You can rewind if you missed anything. And we're doing AWOD's bracketology. I do the research for you. and I will bring you the latest upset alerts and bracket busters ahead of the 2025 NCAA tournament. We just went through Chance to Dance. You know, I do think the DMV will probably end up getting three or four schools in. Maryland's in. It feels like VCU is going to be in. Maybe George Mason, JMU could win their conference tournament. Norfolk State, Towson, or William and Mary could win the CAA. It would take a miracle. It would take a legit prayer, a Hail Mary for UVA or Tech to win their conference tournament. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Your top overall seed right now are the Auburn Tigers. I think they're legit. Duke is a one seed, and they're amazing, and they've got Cooper Flapp and all this talent. But I wonder, you know, it's a lot of freshmen and maybe not the best team chemistry. Could they be a team that could be upset? The latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi has Duke as a one seed in the same region where UConn's a nine seed. I'm picking UConn to upset Duke if that matchup happens. I'm telling you right now. Alabama's a one seed. They're legit as it gets. Mark Sears is my favorite guard in the country, and they've got shooters out the wazoo. Houston is your final one seed. And those boys play so hard, they rebound, and they're so physical that they're going to be such a difficult matchup for so many teams. On the bubble right now, looks like Georgia, North Carolina. That's a joke. They shouldn't be close to the bubble. Xavier, Wake Forest, SMU, Cincinnati, and Villanova. Villanova also a joke. They've been awful this season. I'm going to war with the committee and their dumb selections. That's why I will be betting against all of the SEC teams outside of the top 25, all of these lower-level, mid-tier, Big East, Big 10, Big 12 teams that probably shouldn't be in the bracket. I'll be looking for them on my upset alerts. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jimmy Loudmouth in Herndon. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Adam. Hey, I'm really excited for the VCU Rams, man. I'm super happy that they're atop the A-10. You know, it's my alma mater. It's the best school in Virginia. It's just fantastic, you know, and I think that we could make a real, real deep run, man. We get a real old team. We got a bunch of old people on there because they've been in school for so long, 7-year seniors, 5-year seniors. So I just think that with our team chemistry and with our experience and with the addition of Phillip Russell and Jack Clark, I think we can do it, man. I think that we can go all the way and we can shock some teams and make it to March Madness and get ourselves to the Elite Eight, you know? I mean, right? I mean, why not, right?
What do you think, Loudmouth Jimmy? So the Atlantic 10 tournament will be coming to Capital One Arena, home of the Wizards and Hoyas. VCU's top of the conference. George Mason's literally right behind them. I think they play today and could get back to 14 to tie with VCU. So your top two teams in the conference are from Virginia. Loyola Chicago travels well. We know Dayton travels well. I think it's going to be a pretty darn good crowd. GW's also in the conference at the at Capital One Arena in a couple weeks.
I couldn't agree more. And let me tell you, George Mason has had a great year. It's been really disheartening for me because it really clogs up Braddock Road. It used to be, you know, last year, 2 years ago, you know, no one showed up for the games. No one went to the Patriot Center. Nobody cared. And this year, that is not the case. Everyone is going to the game. They're clogging up that stretch there. And you can't get through, and there's no way around it. And we need more roads. We need Braddock Road to be wider. It's a big, big problem. But that's all because of the George Mason Patriots having a great season.
Yeah.
They've been playing very well. They've got a great defense. Shout out to Tony Skeen. And I think that VCU should win the Atlantic 10 tournament. I don't think that any team in the A-10 can hope that they're going to get in just because they had a good enough season. I don't think there's enough big conference, out-of-conference wins. I don't think there's a team that has set themselves apart like in years past with Dayton and with other guys who have had big-time wins against bigger schools.
Yeah, the answer was Dayton until they lost six games in conference and took them out of the bubble. But you mentioned Tony Skeen. It's so cool what he's doing at George Mason. He was part of the Final Four squad there. And after the game against VCU last week, I actually went up to Tony Skeen, talked to him in the press conference, but I had a great conversation with Lamar Butler. And I told him I was going to mention this on air because, you know, he listens to this station. He said from time to time, Tony Skeen was on with the Junkies last week. I think they're building something. And he agrees, and which is the new era of the transfer portal. They are getting guys that are homegrown talent that went elsewhere. Darius Maddox went to Tech. Jalen Haynes went to ETSU and Tech, right? All these guys, they're coming home, and that's where GMU can get a lot of talent from D.C., from parts of Maryland, from Fairfax, PVI, and that area, and they can go away, and they can go to Oklahoma, or they can go to the SEC for 2 years, and then they're going to get sick and tired of not playing, and they're going to come home. And that's where GMU can take advantage of this in the transfer portal like they did this year.
No, I totally agree. I think that the transfer portal is the ultimate equalizer for all these mid-major schools because they get a chance to get a really good experienced team who all can stay poised and they don't get rattled. And, you know, these young freshman stars, they're great. The Cooper Flags of the world and all that. It's fantastic, but how are they going to play in March when they're under pressure, when that ninth seed or that fifth seed is giving them a run in the round of 32 or in the Sweet 16? And they go, whoa, we're not used to this. We're down by 10 at half. What do we do? And they start to get rattled. So I will say this, though. You know, I don't know if you know this. Do you remember the last time a number one pick actually in the NBA actually won the NCAA tournament? Do you know who that was?
Was Mello? I don't know. That's the only name I'm thinking.
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis in Kentucky, 2012. It's been forever. And I think that it's high time that the number one overall NBA draft pick should win the NCAA tournament. I think, I look at Cooper Flagg, I look at Connor Knipple and Malawach and that whole squad, I think they can do it. I honestly think with Sion James, I'm actually picking Duke. I think I'll shoot myself in the foot, and UConn will probably beat them in the second round, which I'm so tired of UConn. I'm so tired of them winning all the time. Women's basketball, NCAA men's basketball. I'm just tired of UConn. I'm tired of the state of Connecticut. I'm tired of ESPN. Being from there, I don't like it. So I just hope that they lose. I'm so done with them. You know, you know what I mean? I'm done with them, and I'm done with the traffic on Braddock Road. I'm done with that. I really am.
Good call, Jimmy Loudmouth. Love you chiming in there. We haven't talked enough about Maryland. I do think Maryland's got a squad that can absolutely make it to the second round. So I've got the latest bracketology in front of me. I'm going to tell you a few of these upsets I'm already predicting. Mississippi State is a 7 seed. If they get San Diego State as a 10 seed, I'm picking the 10 seed there 9 times out of 10. Oregon versus Drake. That is a massive upset. 5-12 opportunity right there. Drake is actually the best non-P5 team I've seen play this season. They won the Charleston Classic that I got to cover there in Charleston. They've got a Division II coach who won multiple national championships. Is at his first year with Drake, but they still have the talent that DeVry had last year at Drake. He's now at West Virginia. You look at the West Coast Conference. The West Coast Conference is upset alert this year because St. Mary's and Gonzaga, I don't think, are nearly as talented as they usually are. And you got Gonzaga as a 6 seed here, maybe facing off against an Indiana. And then you look at Gonzaga, and it's like, could this be the end of that dynasty? Could this be the end? And I already saw the Field of 68 reporting a rumor that this could be Mark Few's last year with the Zags. There's going to be a ton of upsets. For example, Kansas is not very good this year at all. They're not. If Hunter Dickinson doesn't have his head in the game, they could lose to anybody. And if they're a 6 seed, that's absolutely an 11-6 upset right there. I'm picking that every single time. So you look at the latest report here. It's that the SEC is supposed to get 13 teams into the NCAA tournament. 13 teams from the SEC, right? There's only 16 teams in the damn conference. And so that's why I've identified the SEC as the upset team, the upset conference, all right? So you look at who's going to get in, all right? Well, let's start from the bottom up. We know South Carolina's out, LSU's out, probably Oklahoma's out. Texas should not get in at 5-10 overall in the conference. Georgia 5-10 in the conference. Arkansas 6-9. Vanderbilt 7-8. Like, those teams didn't do enough with their out-of-conference schedule to build up a resume. Their best wins are against SEC teams. The SEC's beating up on each other. That doesn't mean that you should get 13 schools in, right? Like, Texas going on the road and beating Kentucky. So what? Coach Pope's done a good job. He can't completely turn around that program in just 1 year. I think Kentucky could get upset in the first round. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So, Joe, just to close out our college hoops discussion, good games going on today. Clemson at Virginia here in the ACC. That'll be John Paul Jones Arena, 12 noon. Terps at Penn State, 12 noon. SEC action at 1 p.m., number 1 Auburn at number 17 Kentucky, Texas Tech at Kansas, 2 p.m. on ESPN in the Big 12. The game I'm excited for is Alabama against Tennessee. I think both those teams are like Elite 8 level good, so I'm really interested to see the two top teams in the SEC outside of Auburn and Florida face off against each other. Number 6, Alabama at number 5, Tennessee, 4 p.m. on ESPN. And then late night tonight, you know, BYU is playing much better, and they are hosting West Virginia. That's a game I'll be watching tonight, 10 p.m. on ESPN2. To close out the show today, though, I did want to get back into the NFL. And if you've listened to my show on Saturdays here on 106.7 The Fan, or if you listen to my show Monday through Friday in Richmond, you know that I came up with my own off-season power rankings, AWOD's 2025 off-season power rankings based on the totality of the 2024 season, how your season ended, your upside for 2025, potential draft selections, and vibes heading into next season. It's time to update AWOD's 2025 offseason power rankings right now as we go around the NFL. So, I do think that the Eagles are still the number one team here in the offseason. They were number one when I started this power ranking list here. They're still number one. It feels like Philadelphia has just built out a dynasty so well with Howie Roseman. I mean, yes, they've got a ton of free agents that they'll need to re-sign, but they did so well last year in the draft that they're so young, and they have so many guys that are up and coming and going to get better as well, like Quinyon Mitchell and Carter in the middle. They're a sexy team. They're the number one offseason team. You know, you got to beat them to knock them off. The Eagles are Super Bowl champs. I had the Chiefs at number 4. I'm moving the Chiefs up to number 2 in the offseason power rankings because King Kelce is back, and the Chiefs will now use a full offseason to get better on offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Bills 3. I'm moving the Commanders up here. Had Washington originally at 5. I'm moving them ahead of Baltimore to number 4. Moving Washington up because feels like everybody's rumored to Washington. Vibes are so high for the Commanders, right? We talked about Deebo Samuel as the latest rumor today. 5, Ravens. 6, Detroit. 7, I'm moving up the L.A. Rams. Matthew Stafford is back, a team that got hot at the end of the season. And really, I think everybody realizes the Rams are the best chance to knock off the Eagles. When Matthew Stafford got the ball back in the snow down by 6 and they drove down the length of the field, they get in the end zone there. I don't think they're beating Washington. We could have had Washington Chiefs in the Super Bowl if Matthew Stafford had not gotten sacked. Rams get back. Stafford, they're number 7, moving up the list. Houston at number 8. And I'm really interested to see what the Texans do this offseason. I didn't feel like it was a big step back. I'm kind of shocked that they moved on from offense coordinator Bobby Slowick, who was being interviewed for a head coach last year. Now, out of a job. Like, that's just crazy turnaround. They still won double-digit games. They still won their division. They still won a playoff game. If Washington wins their division, wins 10 games, and wins a playoff game, I will be happy. I would not consider that a step back here. So Houston in at 8, Cincinnati at 9. I think they're going to take a huge step forward this year. Or they should have fired the coach, and he just won't be the right guy for the job. But if Cincinnati is not winning 10 games, you know, he deserves to get fired anyway. Chargers at 10, Bucks at 11, Thought it was interesting. David Harrison told us earlier today he does not think the Bucs will allow Chris Godwin to leave this offseason. Vikings 12. I really feel like the Vikings have to bring Sam Darnold back on the franchise tag. You know, there's going to be some idiot team that'll overpay for him. Like, I think the Titans are ready to give him whatever contract they want. Vikings don't want to turn the keys over to J.J. McCarthy yet, especially after an injury. Sam Darnold, franchise tag. Packers at 13. Broncos at 14. Steelers at 15. Very interested to see who's their starting quarterback next season. Dolphins at 16. And honestly, I should have moved the Dolphins down the list with this latest report that they should move on from Tyreek Hill. He didn't want to be part of the team. They shouldn't want to be part of him. It was an article I talked about this week on my show. There was some rumors that Washington would be interested in Tyreek Hill. Feels like Dolphins vibes are lower. Falcons at 17. Seahawks at 18. 49ers 19. And I do think the 49ers will have the biggest turnaround in terms of wins and losses from 2024 to 2025. I think they go from 6-11 to 11-6 or 12-5 if they're healthy. If they're fully healthy, and if Robert Saleh makes the impact on the defensive side of the ball, I expect him to make. Bears are an interesting question mark. They're in at 20. I kept them at the exact same spot on this list. We'll see how they maneuver throughout free agency and the draft to continue to build around Caleb Williams. Cardinals at 21, Jets at 22, Colts at 23, Patriots at 24. But I think there's a lot of excitement in New England. Like, we'll see. I think they could move into the top 20 of my power rankings by the end of the offseason. I really think Mike Vrabel's the perfect guy for that job there to bring him some excitement back to New England, to get them great on defense and build around Drake May on the offensive side of the ball. Dallas at 25, they should be lower and might be lower by the end of the offseason. Nobody really is excited. People that I talked to about Brian Schottenheimer, including Cowboys fans, Panthers, Jags, Saints, Raiders, Titans, Giants, and it's the Cleveland Browns still last on my list of AWOD's offseason power rankings. You've been listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate you listening to the show. Go Commanders, go. We'll be talking college hoops next Saturday here on The Fan.